Blog Talk Radio.
Number 377 shows and counting. And this is just wonderful for all of our animal friends in need and distress to have this radio platform speaking out for them, because they cannot talk themselves. They can't ask for help. We have to do it for them for the positive changes. But, you know, keep it up. You know, keep telling everybody about these shows. And, you know, on the social media, and keep spreading the word. I want to announce tonight is the last podcast for 2022. And I want to thank all the former great guests, the callers, the listeners, the supporters who helped promote this show. Marty Oakley of the PPJ Gazette and TS Radio Network, Animal Advocate Alliance, Voices Care for Animal support groups, and this list goes on. But we'll be returning on January the 5th of 2023. And I hope all of you have a great Merry Christmas or whatever you're celebrating, and just strive for a better, stronger, blessed, and healthy new year 2023. Because that's what we got to work on. Let's see some major victories come in for the animals. I know there's been some victories this year, but not. It just seems like it takes forever for them to get here. So, hey, the more of us that come together, the stronger we become. We are power in numbers, everybody, or strength in numbers, what Ray Bittner, a.k.a. Mama Cat, always tells me, and it's so true. I wanted to go over a couple things before I do get started here. This show is coming live from the PPJ Gazette Online. A big shout out to Marty Oakley, who helps promote this show every Thursday. Voices Care for Animals started back in June of 2014, and I was Marty Oakley's host up till March of 2018, 163 live podcasts. And then she helped me to start on my own, kept the same name, and just switched it to Animal Advocates Radio from 164 shows down to currently 377 this evening. And that's what I call teamwork, everyone. When you got a great team player, super team, and you work close together to achieve those goals. Stay proactive and optimistic, and don't give up, because that's what we're all in this together for, to make animals' lives and futures better, not worse, or stay the same. Because I know from doing these radio shows that there's animals from all angles that need our help. and they need it now. I mean, it's just some of the stuff that's going on out there has rolled over from the 20th century to the 21st century. What kind of excuses do we have to let them, you know, continue to suffer or die or live in, you know, pain and agony? So we got to work, all of us in 2023, let's all work harder to make it better for them, because the stronger we become, hey, the faster the changes, and when there's more of us come together, those changes will be made. Teamwork is the key. But I wanted to give a big shout-out to Gary Bowden of Animal Advocate Alliance. I'm posting on there as Mama Bear. My name is Debbie Dahmer, a.k.a. Mama Bear. I am the producer and host for Voices Caring for Animals, coming to you live every Thursday at 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central, 5 o'clock Mountain, and 4 o'clock Pacific. All these shows are archived, so you can listen to them and share them 24/7. And during this time off from the Animal Advocates Radio, you can go back and listen to any of the shows. They're all great. I mean, very informative and educational. Awareness is out, prevention, how you can help out, great websites to visit. I mean, everything is there. But I wanted to give him a big shout-out. He is also the radio producer for All About Animals Radio. And they've been going strong for like 7 months now, and we're a great team together. And I want to thank him for all he's done for me, for the Mama Bear, because he's out there working hard. So check him out on Facebook, All About Animals Radio, or Twitter. And also, you know, see how you could help out, because all of us need teamwork here. And he is a great spokesman out there. He's got great guests on his show. Nicole Rogers, she was a been a guest on this show before, and she's hosting on his radio platform. And also his Youth for Animals, and Dewan, Anita Dewan. And so they're all great. Take the time listening to them, because that's how we get the word out. And then all these shows now, if you want to, you know, even on the PPJ Gazette, you go on the search engine, the search link, and put Voices Carry for Animals, and all the links will pop up. Press which one, wait a minute to download, and it will play. And also on Blog Talk Radio. And that's www.blogtalkradio.com/Voices Carry for Animals. And you do the same thing. You can press follow on the PPJ Gazette and be alerted when there's a new podcast coming up, or also on Blog Talk Radio. So there's several ways, you know, just press follow, put your email address, and every time there's a podcast come up, you can they'll alert you in your primary email. It's awesome. I get them just to make sure they're working, and they always are. And so please, you know, keep spreading the word out there, because we are definitely strengthening numbers, everybody. And don't give up. You know, we cannot give up. We want to see those victories coming and keep coming, not stop here. But I also want to give a shout-out to Spencer Hodges. He's a former guest on the show. He has my podcast on his Rebound Dog News under podcast. Give a big thank you for him to help me promote these shows. And also Lauren Contino, Save the World, Save the Animals. She also has a podcast on her website. And that's what I call teamwork. I mean, it's just, you know, keeps going, and all the participation and support that I'm getting. Hey, thank you all very much. I mean, all the great guests that's been on there, the callers, the listeners, the supporters on Facebook, followers, and friends that are helping me promote this show, and Voices Carry for Animal support group, Twitter followers, big animal pages on there, that I get all kind of notifications from all of them. And that's, it makes me keep going. It inspires me. It's uplifting. So thank you all. And also on LinkedIn, sharing the show on there and Pinterest. See, so this list is huge. Fans of Animal Rights on Facebook been with me since the beginning. A big shout out to them. So I'm going to get the show started. And I got Jeff Galton back. He came back this evening, and he's always welcome back. I told him earlier that he is part of the Voices Care for Animals family, and all of them are. All of us are together. And he's a director at Pity Rescue Incorporated, dog trainer, author, speaker, pit bull lover, and advocate, and educator. And he's out there working hard and all that. He's a pit bull lover, and I have a nickname also, Pit Bull Debbie, or Mustang Debbie. I got several of them, the Dominator. But pit bulls are so awesome to me, and they always get the bad rap, and they shouldn't. One has a bad behavior, bites somebody, and they got to take it out on all of them, and that's not fair. It's discrimination, stereotype, and, yeah, I mean, hatred. I mean, it's so wrong. But anyway, I'm going to welcome him back. Jeff, call him back. How are you this evening? Welcome back there. This is awesome.
Hey, Debbie, thank you for having me back. I do appreciate it. It's good to be here. I love hearing your voice, and I absolutely love your energy. It is infectious, and I'm happy to be here.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you for your kind and heartfelt words, you know, your inspiring words. That's what I try to do, you know, keep going and get my voice out there. And not just me, everybody together makes a difference. It's not just me. I know this radio platform here, but what's really meaningful, and when these guests come on like yourself and tell us, you know, what you're doing and what your goals are, that really inspires me too. I mean, to keep going, because I know, well, I'm not spinning my wheels. And I know you're not either, but you want to go ahead and tell the audience a little bit, you know, refresh their memory, because Jeff's been on several times on this Animal Advocate Radio and TS Radio. So we've been in contact several times, and he's just a great voice out there for these pit bulls and everything and helping them out, giving them a chance. But go ahead, Jeff, you want to tell the audience a little bit about yourself and how you got started, and then we'll go into other topics. We're going to pit bull rescue and training, advocating against BSL, which is breach of specific legislation. Go right ahead.
Sure, sure.
Welcome
so I'll give you the Cliff's Note version. People could always go to my website or YouTube channel if they want to learn more about me and my training, and even on my YouTube channel, I have a playlist called All About Rescue. So I have a lot of rescue videos up there as well. But I was first introduced to dog training in the early 90s after my brother rescued a pit bull outside of a bar that was being abused. And that was our family first pit bull, and I think it was 1990 or 1991. I forget what the exact year was. My brother obviously wanted to train the dog, and I was kind of second in command. And once the dog got healthy and grew up a little bit, my brother started, he took him to protection training, and I joined along with him. And, you know, at the time I was a 19-year-old kid, and I thought it was cool as heck, you know, watching dogs flying through the air and hitting the guy in the bite suit. Like, I thought it was so cool, you know? So throughout the 90s, it was, you know, pretty much a hobby, helping family and friends, dog sitting, pet sitting, walking, that kind of stuff. And, you know, I also, for people that don't know, I'm also a recovering drug addict. I also got sober in 1994, which aligned with my affinity for pit bulls as well, not just because of our family's pit bull, but because of all the ones that I kept meeting. And even at that time, although I was young and naive, I realized how, like, people just look at you differently when you have a pit bull walking next to you. You're treated differently, you're looked at differently, people act differently around you. And I really, you know, I was kind of young to know what it exactly meant, but I knew something was amiss there. And it was probably, you know, that was the precursor. I had no idea where my career was going to go at that point. So later in the 90s, I got more involved in dog training and studying, and, you know, ultimately I got certified as a dog trainer. And then in 2002, after training for a few years, my wife and I got involved in animal rescue, and we walked into our local shelter for the first time in 2002, and we've been involved in rescue ever since as well. And in 2010, we founded Pity Rescue. We're not a huge, big conglomerate. You know, we do what we can. We don't overload ourselves with dogs. But the bulk of my rescue work has, you know, it hasn't been limited to our rescue. I've met and worked with hundreds of rescues over the years, met thousands of people involved in rescue over the years. Most of it surrounding pit bulls because that, you know, they're my love. And I accidentally, through no fault of my own, you know, way back in the early 2000s, I became known locally as the pit bull guy because I would go to the shelters and, like, the first dogs I would take out of the kennel would be the pit bull, and they would be the last dogs that most people would take out. I'd go right for them. people thought I was nuts, but, you know, if you could read body language and you know dogs, you know what kennels you can walk into. I don't care what breed is on the other side of that fence, you know. I don't discriminate. So, you know, and then obviously, you know, throughout the years, I've been involved in some breed-specific legislation endeavors, you know, locally, nationally, you know, even trying to impact some issues overseas through letters and, you know, getting involved in phone calls and stuff like that. You know, obviously, there's not much we could do, you know, across the pond when stuff's going on over there. But, you know, we try. We always try, right? Right, Deb?
Oh, yeah. We got to at least try. That's, you know, right.
So they're near and dear to my heart, and people think I'm this crazy pit bull guy who has his head up his ass. And the fact is that I am not ignorant to the plight of the pit bull. I am not ignorant to what happens in the United States, specifically surrounding breed-specific legislation, dog bites, human fatalities by dogs. I know the statistics. I know what we're up against. I don't talk out of my butt. I tell it like it is. Most pit bull haters don't like what I have to say, and some pit bull advocates don't like what I have to say because it doesn't align with, you know, we can't, you know, they're not toy poodles. Right? So we can't present them as toy poodles. We have to be honest and factual about the dogs that we love so much. And that's what I try to do, to be a good, honest advocate.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you got to give them a chance. Yeah, because you got to, you know, speak out because they cannot fight for themselves. I mean, they're innocent. You can't just blame one for, and all they're just alike, and they're all gonna bite you. No, that's not gonna happen. And they deserve a chance. Every pit bull I've known in my life, they've been so friendly and lovable, and you know, they need more, you know, freedom in this world instead of being discriminated against. Because it's not fair. It's injustice. And just like dog fighting, they don't take themselves to the fight. They don't walk themselves or drive themselves. They are forced to fight. They're trained to fight. So these dog fighters, I hope they turn over a new leaf and help the animals out instead of putting them in harm's way when there's death that hits them and a lot of injuries or whatever. It's not fair to them. I mean, it's just forced, and it's not right. Oh, and by the roots of the problem, money, greed. And that's what is happening in this world. You know, the love of money is the roots of all evil. And dog fighting
Deb, there's also a social element to it in some demographics because they are a status symbol, too, which is a huge problem that contributes to pit bulls being associated with nefarious types of people.
And they're so, I mean, you look at them, and you've been with them doing this for a while. I mean, you know, they can ask you, you train them, and you probably get real close to them, and you know, you see some things changed and progress made, and you say, "Hey, I'm doing what I need to do. I'm doing what's right out there." And I can't thank you enough for all that you do. And you got books out. I mean, this is amazing. You know.
Yeah. And you know what's funny too is when because our biggest hurdle is the pit bull haters that are spewing misinformation. It's much like politics, and I'm not going to choose sides here. That's not what I mean by that. But it's like politics in that you have one side saying one thing, and you have the other side saying the complete opposite thing. And, you know, all they're doing is focusing on attacking each other, where we have to speak the truth, right? So, for instance, what people don't know, like we look at all the dog bite statistics that are out there, right? First and foremost, what people don't understand is there is two interpretations of pit bull, okay? Number one, when it comes to dog breeds, there is only one breed of dog that is the pit bull, and that is the American Pit Bull Terrier, right? That's it. Mm-hmm. There's only one. The problem socially and legislatively is that when people say pit bull, it comprises an entire group of dogs based on looks. Right. So it opens the floodgates and it really pumps up, as far as the haters go, it really pumps up their statistics because they could say, oh, well, pit bulls bite the most. Well, yeah, if you're going to clump in six or seven different breeds of dog into the term pit bull and any mixes of those dogs, you know, we're talking about potentially thousands of different types of dogs that are contributing to a statistic that they're throwing at us. And it just makes no sense. So, for instance, like with dog bites, the CDC categorizes dog bites by breed, right? So a Labrador bites a person, it's classified as a Labrador Retriever bite. If a Rottweiler bites a person, it's classified as a Rottweiler bite. If a Labrador and a Rottweiler mix bite someone, it's classified as a mixed breed bite, right? Because it's a mutt. Follow me?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So now, if an American Pit Bull Terrier bites someone, it's classified as a pit bull bite, right? If an American mm-hmm. Staffordshire Terrier bites someone, it's also classified as a pit bull bite. If a Staffordshire Bull Terrier or a Staffordshire Terrier bites someone, they are individually classified as pit bull bites. So right there, you have four different breeds contributing to one categorization, right? Here's the kicker.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the CDC. This is not me. So for any haters out there, first of all, I don't really give a crap what you think anyway because you're all ignorant and you have your heads up your ass. But if you think I'm blowing
that's a good one. I like
smoke
that.
Out there, okay, this is the Centers for Disease Control. I'm not making this up, right? If a pit bull that is mixed with any other breed of dog, right? So how many breeds of dog are there? What, 430 different breeds, something like that? If a pit bull is mixed with any one of those breeds and bites someone, that is also classified as a pit bull bite. Whereas all the other breeds, if they're mixed, they're categorized separately into a mixed breed category, except for any breed of dog that is mixed with the American Pit Bull Terrier, the American Staffordshire Terrier, even American Bulldog is thrown into that mix too, by the way, right? So that's the problem with bite statistics is, number one, it's skewed ridiculously, and it's just, I mean, it is insane, right? And I know we're talking about BSL tonight because BSL follows the same guidelines, which is insane, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I sure do. I mean, it is insane, the whole thing. It's the discrimination and stereotype and unfair injustice for how they do this. You know, they're freaking out over... You know, we don't like hearing a person getting bit or you know, whatever accident happens, but you can't take it out on all of them. It's unfair. It's so
they are literally
crazy.
Attacking an entire demographic for a handful of – and, you know, this is the other thing, too, that we're talking about this, right? And I know you and I have talked about this in the past off the air, maybe even on the air, like when someone gets bit or worse, killed, like first and foremost, that is where our heart is. Like we feel horrible for those victims and their families. We don't, you know, we don't gaslight anyone. We understand that when someone loses a loved one, regardless of how it happens, obviously, but in this case, if there's a dog involved, our first and primary concern is for the family and the victim. It's not about the dog. They lost a loved one. Like, you know, we're not heartless, you know, people, heartless, crazy pit bull people. Like, we really feel for the people who lose a loved one or people who get injured or maimed from dog bites. You know, they think that, you know, and I forget about social media, especially, you know, I mean, I'm older now. I'm 50 years old. I'm doing this a long time. You know, you get some of these younger people on there and they think they don't know who they're talking to. And, you know, I had a conversation not too long ago. I think it was on my YouTube channel. And I'm like, look, man, I'm like, I probably have met around 10,000 or more pit bulls over the years. And the guy was like, you're exaggerating bullcrap. And I'm like, that's probably a low figure. I don't mean that I trained 10,000 pit bulls. But because I've been doing this so long, I've met so many, like, you know, at least, you know, 1,000 a year for a long time, because I'm all over the place. I see a pit bull, I'm running to say hello, right? I've evaluated, you know, hundreds and hundreds of them over the years, you know, trained hundreds more. I mean, just in the past, we're down, you know, my wife and I, we're in North Carolina now. We're here, what, 8 years? Just in the past 8 years, I have a low-cost enrichment program for rescues. I average about 8 to 10 dogs a month, and most of them are pit bulls, right? So do the math. That's a minimum, you know, at minimum, you know, what, just at my house. Now, I'm not talking about private training and things I do outside my property. Just at my house, we're talking about 112 pit bulls a year. That's, you know, that's 800-900 just in the past 8 years, just at my house. So over the course of my career, I've met thousands and thousands of thousands of them. And you know what? Some of them were really not good with people, and some of them I was really concerned about how they would be in public. But the majority of them, great dogs, right? Sometimes yep. with the wrong owner. So...
Right, you got to blame the deed, not the breed. You know, something.
Yeah, exactly.
That's,
you know,
accountable.
That brings us right. Exactly. Yeah, and that brings us to BSL. I mean, and if we look at, you know, well, first for your audience, most people I know what BSL is, but so for people that aren't familiar with it, BSL, breed specific legislation, is a government restriction on dog breeds, so they can mandate either restrictions or complete bans of certain breeds of dog in a municipality or a county or a state, things along those lines. And where people get confused with BSL is like in apartment complexes or residential areas that have HOAs that don't allow certain breeds. So residential restrictions is not BSL. They're two different things. BSL is a government restriction. It's a government mandate on certain breeds of dogs. And right away, when we say BSL, breed-specific legislation, when I say that, Deb, what's the first breed that pops into your head?
The pit bull. Breed
the
BSL.
Pit bull, right? Okay, well, here's yep. what people don't realize, and especially people that are for BSL, it doesn't stop with pit bulls. I mean, the American Pit Bull Terrier, American Bullies, American Staffordshire Terriers, German Shepherds, Doberman Pinschers, Cane Corsos, many Mastiffs, Rottweilers, Boxers, Great Danes, Staffordshire Terriers, Akitas, Huskies, Malamutes, Chow Chows, Prussian Canarios, Argentine Dogos, Bull Terriers, Malinois, American Bulldogs, any dog that is mixed with a pit bull or resembles a pit bull are all at risk. You know, for BSL people, this is not just a pit bull problem. This is a problem that could potentially impact millions and millions of dogs. And if we look at the root cause, and let's, you know, bites and fatalities by dogs, like, we're talking first and foremost, dog bites. The number one root cause, in my opinion, is irresponsible ownership. Okay, so, you know, if you have an untrained dog or an irresponsible owner, you know, it's a recipe for a disaster, obviously. And if you have owners that maybe they don't know what they have in a dog, like, you know, I mean, I'm a pit bull guy. I love pit bulls. They're high energy. They're fun. They're loving. They're super easy to train. I never have just one dog, you know. Pit bulls are like potato chips to me. You can't have just one. I'm pretty good at what I do. I have a lot of confidence in my ability as a handler and a trainer, right? I would never get a Malinois. I just would never get a Malinois. It's not a dog that would suit me, so I don't get one. Whereas people get dogs that just don't suit them. Like, you know, I joke around a lot about this, and it's not a knock on people who struggle with obesity, but big fat people should not get high energy dogs. They just shouldn't, right? Get an English bulldog if you're not very active or mobile, or if people have, sometimes there's physical restrictions that, you know, they may not allow them to do the things they want to do. Whatever personality type or lifestyle is out there, there's a breed of dog I can match you up with, right? So breed selection is a huge issue that contributes to dogs being put into bad situations.
Yep, and we got a caller here, Jeff, if you want to start taking calls.
Yeah, go for it.
Area code 206. You are live on the air. Thank you for joining with us on the Animal Advocates Radio, Voices Care for Animals. Go right ahead. You have any comments or questions for Jeff Kaltenbach? Go right ahead.
Yeah. Hey, Mama Bear. It's Josh.
Hey, Josh. How are you? Thanks for calling
good,
in.
Good, good. Yeah, no worries.
Yes.
How are you doing?
Hey, so far so good. Getting busy here. Tis the season to have a nervous breakdown.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
No, been busy and everything. But so glad to hear from you. And you have any comments or questions for Jeff? He's Josh. He also stands up for pit bulls and everything. So
yeah,
thanks
well, actually,
for all
how
you
doing,
know,
Josh. We hooked up on another blog talk thing a couple of months ago.
Yeah. No, I would love to connect with you offline too.
Sure, man. Deb, share my info with Josh.
Yeah.
Oh,
so,
yeah. I will.
I mean, as Mama Bear knows, and I'm a huge animal lover, you know, and advocate, and you know, pit bulls, you know, are very close to my heart. I have two. I have a Rottweiler Brindle and another gray Pitty.
Nice.
And, you know, yeah, and they're just such sweethearts. You know, I mean, they just – I always joke around with people and say they can't control their liquor.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's the first time I've heard of that one. That's a good one.
I love that one. Sometimes, it takes a minute for people to like be like, what? Wait, what?
Yeah. Yeah, I knew right away. Yeah.
So Jeff, first and foremost, just thank you for everything that you're doing. I mean, it's amazing, and I love hearing you know you speak totally unfiltered, just straight up and blunt and honest. And you know, if people can't, you know, deal with honesty and the truth of the matter, well, you know what? They're the problem, and like you said, that they have their heads up their ass.
Yeah,
that's
you
right.
Know, and it's
true.
Know, I'll be honest, like, a long time ago, I was a lot more finesse in my delivery of information. I just don't care anymore.
I've reached that point in my life, too, that, like, I just don't care. Like, if you don't like my dogs, I don't like you. And if my dogs don't like you, I don't like you, you know?
And, you know, most people that what's the word I'm looking for? It's not my show, so I'm trying not to curse. Well, let's call it. Let's keep it simple.
I think we're already past that.
Yeah. Our opposition, right? If you really look at it, especially in the past 10, 12 years, like, you know, when I first started this, like, you know, a lot of the things we did, we were literally on foot in town council meetings, going to municipalities. Like, that's, we were literally fighting BSL in New Jersey, right?
Okay.
So, you know,
right.
Now it's a little different, you know, not that, I mean, the internet was around back then, but it's a lot more, you know, it's a lot, I mean, everyone is on some form of social media nowadays. That's where we find the bulk of our opposition on social media now. And
right.
What I find funny, it's especially on my YouTube channel, I have a Pitbull advocacy playlist, and I've gotten into it with people typing, you know, back and forth on it. And almost every time I say, look, why don't I have you on my YouTube channel as a guest? We'll do it live. So you don't have to worry about me editing anything out. Right. We'll do it live. And let's talk about this. I don't know how many times I've proposed that to haters. Guess how many people took me up on that offer?
Zero.
So, and what's funny, and they spew all these facts, these quote unquote facts and data at us. And the facts and data that they spew at me are the exact facts and data that I put on my Pitbull advocacy playlist to prove that it's just propaganda to end fear mongering.
Right. And it really is.
Yeah. And I think, we as advocates, go ahead, Josh.
No, I was going to say, it sucks, like Mama Bear said. It's just like, you know, one incident, then it's like, you know, just discrimination for all of them. And it's just wrong. I mean, it's just morally wrong. And I share the same feelings you do. If there's, an incident, you know, your heart goes out to the victim and the families and stuff, you know. But there's also, you know the breed. I know the breed. We all know the breed. There's always a back, you know. When an incident happens, there's always a backstory
that we rarely know the truth about.
Exactly.
Yep. And most of the time, most bites, regardless of breed, could have been prevented.
Right.
To piggyback off of that too is one thing I've noticed about some Pitbull advocates, which I love their passion, but like, for us, for our opposition to really want to hear what we have to say, we also have to be honest about our dogs, right? Like,
right.
I don't believe pit bulls should be in dog parks. And not because I don't think that they're behaviorally equipped to, because there are thousands that could be really good dog park dogs. The problem is if another dog starts in with them, the pit bull's probably going to win, right? So even
right.
if the dog is defending her or himself, they're going to be at fault, period. There's
yeah.
no other way to put it, right? So there's
yeah.
that part of, we have to understand what kind of any terrier. And I think, Josh, we may have even talked about this a couple months ago, like any terrier can be a little animal intolerant, from a rat terrier
right.
up to the American pit bull terrier. They all have
yeah.
that edge
yeah,
to
do.
Them when it comes to other animals, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
you know, much like, you know, a herding dog, like if people have an active family with a bunch of young kids, maybe you don't get a border collie, right?
right.
They're going to be biting your kid's calf for eight
right.
years. You know?
right. But, it's funny you bring that up. So, my ex from several years ago, she had twin girls, and at the time they were six, going on seven, and I had just gone. So I had my Rottweiler Brindle, and I had just shortly got my other Gray Pitty, and I wish I had a video because it was just so adorable. and they just bonded. And they were walking outside with the Great Pity. And I go, hey, girls, do you know what her breed is? And they both looked up and went, she a pit bull. And it was just so adorable, you know.
That's cute.
And both dogs was, you know, I would read them stories at night, you know, they'd fall asleep, and both dogs would just sleep at their feet, you know.
Yeah.
But it's also, as sweet as they are, it's one of those, it's like, I would not want to be the asshole that breaks in at 4 o'clock in the morning trying to harm those two little princesses, you know?
Yeah, right, yep. Yes, you know, and that's the thing, you know, we can talk a good game, especially if, you know, there are pit bull advocates, and then there are pit bull advocates who actually have pit bulls, right?
Right.
Two separate levels of advocacy, right? Because the people who are just, which we need, the people who are shouting pit bulls are great dogs, yeah, we need that. But we're the ones that are walking down the street, right? So
right.
We have a responsibility to advocate behaviorally, right? So I can walk down the street, and every dog that's walking past us, they could be growling, snarling, doing whatever. My dogs are walking by my side, and that's it, right? You know, so we can advocate for them based on how we train and socialize them and handle them too, right? Because a well-trained, a well-handled animal, regardless of breed, presents well to the community, right?
So
you know, how many little, you know, terriers and chihuahuas have you seen just like going ape shit off of every dog in the neighborhood? And lo and behold,
countless.
You see a big giant mastiff walking down who give two craps about the chihuahua, right? Like,
right. Well,
that's what we pit bulls need to do with our dogs. We need our dogs to also be good ambassadors for the breed as a whole.
Yeah, exactly. And it's interesting that you brought up chihuahuas, because, you know, you put a chihuahua in an 80-pound body, that would be pretty apocalyptic. You know, and you put a pit bull in a 2 or 5 pound body, nobody's really give a crap.
Yeah, and that goes into
the whole BSL and stereotyping and, you know,
right,
discrimination.
Because and here's the thing too, like people don't realize that the American Pit Bull Terrier is about 60 pounds.
My Great Pity is 60, actually, yeah.
60.
She looks about more like 35, 40, but she's actually 60.
Yeah, so the breed range, the breed range for the American Pit Bull Terrier is 40 to 60 pounds, right?
Right.
Now, what do we have these backyard breeders breeding nowadays? 85, 90, 110-pound pit bulls with papers, right?
Right.
So
yeah,
they might be a fully registered pit bull, but these jack, you know what, they're breeding for size. So if you breed for a specific physical trait, you are losing out on temperament. So now you have these 110 mongoloids that are not bred for temperament. You're going to lose the integrity of what the American Pit Bull Terrier is. And what the American Pit Bull Terrier is traditionally and historically, sound and solid with people and children.
Right.
Period. But like anything else, we humans screw everything up.
Exactly. To error
human beings
is to
are
humans.
The root of all problems. Yep.
You can't blame the animals. We screwed up the German Shepherd. We screwed up the English Bulldog. We screwed up the Rottweiler. What else did we screw up? I mean, you can make a list of the dogs.
This is huge.
The Labrador. We
oh
we have 135-pound Labrador Retrievers walking around the United States. I mean, we screw every dog up.
Hey. Blame the human beings, the roots of all problems. You can't blame the animals, so you got to blame the human beings, right?
Exactly.
Well, you know, it's
yeah,
your,
Josh.
Your Debbie,
I got another caller calling in. You can stay on there,
right,
okay, Josh? Yeah, cause
okay.
The time's running out here. We got 15 minutes left. Area code 631, you're live on there. Welcome, and thanks for joining us on Animal Advocates Radio, Voices Carry for Animals, number 377. Go right ahead. You're live and on the air. You have any comments or questions for Jeff?
Hi, Debbie. Hi, Jeff. It's Lauren Santino.
Hey, Lauren, how are you? I just gave you a shout-out earlier. Yes, that was great.
Jeff, the root of the problem with pits is this. They are overbred because of dog fighting. Now, dog fighting, those people could make $20,000 to $30,000 for one fight. Okay? Mm. So what happens is you get these very strong pit bulls that they already trained bad behavior. Now, I know you can train, again, for good behavior, but what happens is whether it catches them or they just dump them, they'd rather euthanize them 3 days later. And that's what New York City does. I mean, I have studied them for months and years, and that's what they do. So what's the root of the problem for pits? Dog fighting. I don't know, but I really wish we had a task force that's not afraid to go there and arrest those MFs and take the dogs.
So dog fighting obviously is a huge problem.
Mm-hmm.
As it relates to how it impacts the public, I just don't see it. I just don't see it as being a problem in normal social situations where dogs are biting people, right? And I hear this is where we as pit bull advocates have to be honest, okay? You do not have to train a pit bull how to fight another dog. They know how to do it, and they're very good at it, okay? They do
yep.
not need to be trained. Now, if we look at dog fighting hundreds of years ago, you know, when it was legal in England or the UK or whatever the hell it was called back then, I don't know. not that good with geography, but anyway. So when dog fighting first started overseas, right, what had to happen before the fight is the opposing handler had to handle the opponent's dog before the fight to make sure that the dogs had to be of sound behavioral stability towards people, right? And again, I'm not condoning fighting, but fighting back then also wasn't to death, right? So what we have nowadays is we have fighting, obviously, it has taken on a whole different level of contributing to the abuse of pit bulls. I think dog fighting and dog fighters contribute most to the abuse of pit bulls. I just don't think that dog fighting is the root of people getting bit by pit bull type dogs. I still believe that is an onerous. What's that?
That's not what I'm saying. I have three pits. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm trying to say is the root of the problem is the overbreeding, and they breed them to be mean. Not that they are, but that's what they do. I mean, I have a pit, and I got her from disgusting New York City, and she was about 1.5 at the time, and she did something weird, and I knew it was bad behavior. I have another pit named Mac, okay? Now, Mac is a very, very mellow kind of guy, you know? So Sierra went outside with him, and they were running around, and she snapped right on his leg, like grabbed his leg. He cried. So I said to myself, no, that's trained to be bad behavior. She was trained to be a fighting dog. It took me about 2 months to train her with Mac. And constantly repeating things over and over, learn about cars, animals running around, little fellas running around. But now, if I take her for a walk, she looks at me and she's saying, what do I do now? She's looking for a command, you know. But now she's a senior. She's a senior, and I do have another one. That's Brody. Brody's kind of a big guy. I also got him from New York City. He was not even 6 months old, and if I didn't claim him, they would have euthanized him. So Brody's not like the other two. See, that's the thing about pits. They don't always fit in family dynamics because Brody, you can't really the only way I could say it is this. He gives you stink eye, which means he doesn't want to be bothered. But, you know, there again, you have to understand them, understand the way their ears are back. So it means a lot. And because I know him so well that I will back off, you know. I won't bother him when he does that. Now, the other two, they could care less if I kiss them and bend over and hang out with them in their beds and everything. Brody is a very, very good boy. And he's the youngest one. He's going to be six. So I am so happy, Jeff, that you do what you do, because it's heartbreaking with the statistic of pit bulls being euthanized left and right, especially in a government facility. Shelter. Very, very
sad, isn't it? It's terrible.
Yeah. So I mean, I hear what you're saying. I think with dog fighters, I think dog fighters and like backyard breeders, I think they are the root cause for the population problem.
Yes.
But I'm still not letting owners off the hook. I hear what you're saying. I respectfully disagree. And you just proved my point of disagreeing with you because you know your dog and you don't put your dog in a position to fail.
No.
Right?
Right.
Right?
I don't want to know. I don't want to fail. Absolutely not.
Ultimately, the onus lies on the owner. I don't care where you got the dog from. Now, obviously, and this is what some people don't like to say, don't like to hear, and this is more the trainer in me, right? Some dogs got a screw loose, however that happened, right? And they either need to be in a very special home, or they need to be put in a sanctuary, or they need to be taken out of the population. And people don't like to hear that. Because I'm not even talking about pit bulls specifically, right? Because pit bulls aren't even the most dangerous dog around. They just happen to be the most popular, right? So,
yeah.
Like, you know, I'm sure Honda Accords are in more car accidents than many other cars, right? Because they're one of the most owned cars in America,
right?
It doesn't make the Honda Accord a bad car. It makes the person driving it a bad driver.
Right. That's right. The humans is driving the car. That's true.
But I hear what you're saying about the dog fighting and contributing to the population aspect of it too, and certainly to behavior. But again, we still need to focus on the people, right? Because if my dog bites someone, and I don't have all pit bulls, four are pit bulls, one's a hound, I'm more worried about the hound than I am the pit bulls.
Problem is, this is what happens, because of these types of ACOs and stuff. If you get bit, for instance, I'm walking my dog. Some dog comes from nowhere, and my dog and him had a fight. Guess who's going to get rained out? Me. It'll be my fault. Even if another dog starts, it'll be my fault. So I always make sure. I stopped walking them. I play with them in the backyard because I had some incident. It's probably my French, but it scared the shit out of me. This one, he was a stray. He was running. I had Mac and Sierra. I never ran so fast in the house I couldn't even breathe. But there again, people have to respect when you take a dog for a walk. But that's what happens. If they tease my dog or do anything else and the dog, they have a fight, that means my dog is going to be bye-bye, possibly euthanized, but they'll definitely keep them and however long they feel. See, that's the thing. It's the people. It's the people and the stereotypes of what you're saying. and they don't want to change their mind for some reason. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who bites them.
I know. It's sad, isn't it, Lauren? And
yes.
Jeff, Lauren is a former guest on the show several times. She stands up for pit bulls. Thanks, Lauren,
yep.
for all you do. And her website, Save the World, Save the Animals. And she has my podcast on her website. And thank you for that, too,
thank
Lauren.
You.
And looking
You're
forward
welcome,
to having
pleasure.
You back on next year, you
yes,
know, in
please.
2023. Hope and pray it's a Sounds better and stronger year. Yes. That's
Absolutely.
What we need.
I agree with
more
you.
Victories, more, you know, more good news, positive news, because we're all in this together.
Education.
We're all working
yep.
together.
Yes.
And teamwork. Yes.
And it does work.
Yes, it
does. Work. You have to have patience.
I've
and,
seen it work
you know,
so kindness. Many times. Yes.
Yeah.
It just takes dedication, involvement. And it's not that difficult. I mean, you can help make changes
no,
from
not.
The comfort of your home, your phone, your computer, your copy, your fax. I mean, how much easier can it get? You know, write emails, make them phone calls, because that's what it takes. You can't.
Yes,
if we stand idle and do nothing, expect no changes. You know, so we have
yep.
to do something. We cannot look the other way. We can't be all talk and no action, because then we're really spinning our wheels. We have to take that
mm-hmm.
action is the key, because if we don't, hey, we'll be on this thing year after year. I mean, look at a lot of problems that have rolled over from the 20th century, and it's like, what kind of
yep.
excuses do we have for this? You know, it has to change. It's time for change, everybody.
Yes,
when
it is.
It's benefiting the animals especially thank us when their lives and futures change for the better. And who does that? Us humans, we have to do it. And we're down
exactly.
to like 3 minutes here, Lauren. And thank you for calling in.
Okay.
I look forward to having you back
you're
on
welcome.
The radio, okay? Keep up the advocacy you're doing, okay? And Josh, I want to thank you for calling in. And I want to get you hooked up with Jeff and all his things. And everyone, check out the pityrescue.com on Facebook and the website. And also Jeff Kaltenbach on Facebook also, because see how you can help out. And he's got some great information. Got a great website there, Jeff. They're awesome. And you rock, okay? You've been rocking the airways again. But
thanks for having
anyway,
me. I
Josh,
really appreciate it. Appreciate you guys calling
yeah.
in as well.
Yes, and I'm looking forward to having you on again and again, okay? And I'll be getting
Absolutely.
With you for 2023. And I want to thank you, all you listeners out there, for tuning in this evening. And hope you come back in January and join us again. And keep spreading the word. You have all this time that it's off the radio during December, you go back and listen to any of the shows. And it's well worth it, okay? And you'll find it. And where you want to share with other, you know, your family members or neighbors or coworkers, and to get the information out there, the awareness that's going on. But I want to also thank my mother, Pat, a.k.a. Moose. She don't look like a moose, but she's all her support listening to these shows. And also and Ray Bittner, a.k.a. Mama Cat. She can tune in tonight, but thank you for all the support she gives all during all the year. And she's very helping hand, a great team player. So be back on January the 5th, 2023, everybody. Let's
yeah.
hope and pray for a better year, because there's a lot of issues out there that need to be focused on and fixed. And it takes all of us to do that, okay? We are strength in numbers and power in numbers, okay? But everyone, I hope you have a safe and Merry Christmas or Happy Hanukkah, whatever you're celebrating, and enjoy with your family members or friends. And it's coming towards the end of the year, and this all hope for a better, stronger, blessed, and happy new year 2023. Let's hope that we have these victories come in nonstop, right, Jeff? Let's see some more come
Absolutely.
In. It came in so fast it makes our heads spin, okay? So in order to do that, get with your politicians, your legislators, and do something and make them calls, write those emails, write those letters, go in person, whatever it takes to, you know, help make changes made. So, but anyway, everyone, you have a great evening and looking forward to all of you coming back in 2023. Have a nice and peaceful evening, and may God bless you all. Thank you, Jeff, and thank you,
God bless.
Thank you,
bye,
Josh.
Guys. Have a
what
holiday.
Another great show.
Bye.
Rocking the airways for the Pit Bulls.
Thank you all.
Good night, everyone. Paul in hand, united we stand against all animal cruelty and neglect across the land. Good night, everyone. Thank you for tuning in.